everyone to a truly fantastic new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are honored to have on our show today the company joining us and particularly the artist joining us to talk to us about the production today. Joining us on our show today, we have the performer George Drantz and Valois Meekins, as well as the director Zeeshan Uygurlu. They're all part of Great Jones Rep presentation of Medea. It's playing April 11th through the 21st at La Mama Theater. However, it's currently sold out in person, but if you can get your hands on tickets and you'd like more information, visit lamama.org. We are so honored to get to have these artists from such a legendary company here in New York. And so why don't we go ahead and welcome on our guests and get started. George, Valois, Zeeshan, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
I am so excited to have such great artists join us. I mean, Valois is an original company member with this wonderful company. This is incredible. And you have this great production that you're doing that originated back in 1972, if I remember right. Yes. So, Zeeshan, why don't I start with you as the director? Can you tell us a little bit about this piece?
Sure. Maybe it's a little story would be helpful. So I am a member of Great Jones Repertory Company last 30 years. Actually, I am originally from Istanbul, and then I became a member when I came here through my green card, which is supported by La Mama Theater and Alan Stewart. So, of course, it is an honor to be part of the company and now directing the company after 30 years. But the most important things that I have to tell, I would not be able to direct this production without the teachers and original company members and the musical directors, George and Ani and Valois and artistic director Mia Yu, also playing, as you know, Medea. I wouldn't be able to do, because they are the one actually teaching the company the Medea's incredible music composed by Elizabeth Suedos and original directed by Andre Serban. But the inspiration, but it is coming from the company for me to direct Medea. So when I was asked to direct the company and they were asking, what would you direct? For a while, I was like, let me think about it. I was very excited, but I didn't know what to do and how to direct. What is it at best for the company? But the one thing was very clear in my mind that like Alan's spirit, to keep Alan's spirit and to be very inclusive. So that idea of being inclusive brought me back to, again, the spirit of like how we can actually involve all the Great Jones company into the production. Because as you know, we are, as a company, have been directed by guest directors, sometimes 7, sometimes 10, sometimes 15 members of the company being involved. But I wanted to bring really everyone into it. And it was a great opportunity if I would direct Medea, that the idea of that continue to teach and this legendary, you know, like productions in a new generations and then keep going as an evidence also, right? To show it, because you can say always you can create narrative around it, but not necessarily do it. So this was a great opportunity. What I wanted to do, I wanted to direct Medea with everyone is included. And I just wanted to do one thing, because original production was directed Andre Serban and composed by Elizabeth Suedos, as I mentioned earlier. But this time, when they asked me why Medea, my answer was because I really wanted to draw attention to a very specific dimensions from the well-known text that explores Medea as an immigrant. And that immigrant, an exile person, because also the theme of exile is the notion of exile is a past reality and also internal state, right? She's losing the lover that they were very bond each other, and imminent threat, which is by Creon, you know, sending her to exile in a day. And I thought about it because I was also teaching courses about the global refugee crisis and solo performances. I thought that subject would perfectly fit Medea's text. And if you look at Euripides' text, it is an exile, and being immigrant is very, very dominant in the play, actually. So that's what I wanted to draw attention. And as you know, that in our production, she really witnessed the horrors of borders, that what we are bringing with the Culture Hub's, you know, design into the room, that all the videos and all the interviews, and I work with the youth workshop, I would work the real immigrants and undocumented personals that to get their stories. So that will be part of this production. And then, like, she really dreams the abolition of borders, and kind of she combines her wisdom, Medea's wisdom, with ancient wisdom, with the technology, just to create awareness about the global refugee crisis. That's what I'm trying to do.
That's incredible. I love all that. This is so exciting. I can totally see why the show sold out like that. So, Valois, I want to bounce to you as an original member of this company. How did you come upon this piece in this company? Just out of curiosity.
How did we come upon it? That's a good question, because I don't think we ever knew how it came about. It's just that Andre wanted to do this piece. He did a whole trilogy of plays in ancient Greek and Latin and other languages, and he dedicated them to his mother, so who was Greek. So maybe that's how it came about, to do Medea first.
That's wonderful.
That's the first piece.
Yeah. Could I jump on that?
Please, yes.
Andre Serban and Elizabeth Suedos were very much inspired by the work of Peter Brook on his work Orgast, which examined ancient languages. And Brook's impulse, along with British poet Ted Hughes, was that if there was a way to touch into the language and the original sound of the language, there was a question as, could we actually touch back into the original impulse that brought forth those pieces in the beginning? So in a lot of ways, for Andre Serban and Elizabeth Suedos, they were continuing that experiment of Peter Brook. And so the work in the ancient languages was something that was really vivid for them, but also really important for Ellen Stewart, because she was looking for a theatrical vocabulary where people could have a shared experience that was more about the heart and the gut than it was about the understanding of words. So it was a perfect vehicle for all of those desires of those three great artists.
Yeah, it works about communication through sound. You know, how would you, I mean, if you have a play going to a country where nobody speaks your language, how would they understand your play? So it was an experiment in getting meaning through sound to an audience who doesn't understand your language.
That's incredible. I love that the show transcends language, transcends, you know, common communication, that it can be so accessible for so many. That's incredible. Nishan, I'm going to come back to you for this next question. What has it been like developing the piece? I know there's a lot of moving parts that are involved. There's great technology. So what has it been like developing this particular iteration of the show?
Maybe I have to tell you the first how we call it. We are calling it in our press release is Techne Epic. So technology epic, right? As George and Valois mentioned about that's using the ancient language and going back to original impulses. Of course, for me, the first impulse to also go there as an English as a second language for myself, right, is always the English is very difficult to communicate something, but I dearly embrace the idea of like how do we can communicate through the sound, through the impulses, and how we evoke emotion through the sound is really a compelling idea, just someone like immigrant. But the process is started 2 years ago for me, because after I just said that I want to draw attention to the immigration global refugee crisis, we have decided that we will use actually the new building of 74 of La Mama, newly renovated building. And the building has four floors. We are using the three floors. The first floor is a detention center. And we hear detention center, the stories of real immigrants. And then we are going to stories from all over the world. And also we hear stories, and these questions being asked is a kind of an interrogation and an interview combination for a detention center. The question has been taken from the real asylum seekers' questions. So most of the thing, I could also say technology epic combination, but also I would like to say very much have a quality of documentary. Like all the interviews has been taken from the books, from the real, as I said, youth workshop that I created with Make the Road and the New York City leadership for the youth, listening their stories and bringing them into the room through the video. And as you know, undocumented youth always very hesitant to bring their faces into room or their voices into the room. So to me, it's a kind of an honor to bring their voices into the room to telling their stories that incredibly horrible. It's just like, horrible is the word, I don't know, but it is really horrifying kind of experiences they went through. So the process is bringing that in the first floor, and Medea and Jason and their children are also interviewed and interrogated as a kind of asylum seekers. And then we take them to the second floor, which where original Medea happens. But of course, I am also adapting story a completely different way, much more showing the Medea this not obeying, completely rageful woman. I am turning the story around, much more feminist, much more compassionate. Maybe she is the most compassionate woman in the room, actually. And her revenge, maybe, yes, there we are, as a human being, we all do want to have the impulse to revenge, but her revenge also changes. Her revenge also brings us to remind us to humanity one more time. So that kind of, I call my vision and my idea that convincing the idea that Medea is a kind of a different creature than ever we have been told over the history. And then the last part is after the end of Medea, I'm not going to give you the end today, but we go to upstairs and then Medea infiltrates into another detention center to help the others. And this is not a repentment. This is to remind us, like, in every moment, in every grief moment, we still have endurance and we still have the spark of hope that we can help the others. And I have to say one more thing that I will give, because like I really would like to hear George and Willis more also about this. Yes, and this morning is an important thing that for our time goes to read, because this is about also Culture Hub is doing something very important, because this production is about how we can actually, because we are just combining the really with the original text and music, we are combining ancient tongues with multilingual testimonies, as I said, but also we are just kind of bringing the long-standing members of the company, mentored the new generation, as I said, to foster the power and specificity of the original material. And this, again, cannot be done without George, without Willis, without Ani, and without Bill in the room. And it is such an important part of the production. And then the other thing is just, I have to say, maybe it is important. Yes, here we go. So this kind of the Great Jones Repertory Company convinced the idea in 1972, this bringing ancient languages into the room and with music. And then what we are doing right now, I'm bringing the immigration stories and bringing the global refugee crisis with Culture Hub, that who are actually breaking the, we are all breaking the balls, and then using custom built interactive technologies and online audience will affect audio, affect video, and affect lighting elements throughout the show. So we are actually really global refugee crisis kind of being globally solved. I mean, of course, or globally brought more questions into the room about the issue and the problem. And that excites me, actually, you know, like being reached out of the walls. And what else I would like to say? Maybe I should stop right now. And then maybe George and Medea talks, I will find Mia's email about the Culture Hubs. Yeah.
George, Valois, anything you wanted to add to the development of this piece?
I find it very interesting and very important at this time. to do the piece the way Zichon wants to do it. What I find going over the text and working in rehearsals, what was done in the past is changed. Mm-hmm. So when I speak, I have to change inside myself what the intent is of what I'm saying, because it's different now. I don't know, maybe George could talk about this more.
Just to agree with Valois and just say that what Zichon is doing with it and how we're bringing the piece into today's reality, I think is really important. And it's a testimony to the strength of the foundation that really is in the musicality of the piece as it was originally done by Andre and by Liz. You know, there is something about what's happening in the world right now where there is this unbelievably tense suspicion of the stranger or the other. The word that is used about Medea again and again in the play in the original Greek is varvaron, or barbarian, which literally means outsider or stranger. Anyone that was not Greek was varvaron, was barbarian. And so, you know, sometimes in a modern era, we say, well, we've gotten over that, but we really haven't. And in the last few years, it seems like there's been an explosion of that kind of suspicion and that kind of real inability to accept or perceive the other as exactly what Ellen Stewart wanted people to see, is that we're all one person. Ellen would say that all the time. We're all one person. And so to continue Ellen's vision for this piece, for this present moment, I think it's really, really important that this happens. Valois mentioned the question of going back to what's already in your body. And what's amazing for me is that I first did this piece 25 years ago. And so when you're reaccessing the things, it's been living in you for so long that it just is very natural. A lot of the actor work that was done then continues over, but has deepened almost like an aged wine or something, you know, so that when we're going at it now, there is a great ability to change the perspective just a bit. And with very, very little mechanics or very, very little demand, to really allow the new sensibility to take effect, to take root, and to really bring some beautiful moments and very, very touching, moving experiences in the process.
Just want to say that there's a speech that I do. It's very long. And in the beginning, it was when Medea is freed from her chains and she's coming down off the platform and the nurse is there and there's this, oh my goodness, you know, this woman is free now. What is she going to do with her rage? That was the speech then. Now it's changed because something else is going on. I'm not going to say what it is. I want everybody to be surprised. But that feeling is still there, but it's intensified. And there's a sound that I make that I still do, which I used to do in the chorus, but I'm doing it as the nurse and it gives a totally different feeling for me there, and it's intense.
That is amazing. I love that insight. That's incredible. George, I want to come to you first on this next question. With the very powerful, the very timely and incredible way that you're all depicting this particular version of the story this time around, splitting it between the three floors and such, what is the message or thought you hope that audiences will take away from this production?
That's a great question. I would say that my hope would be that, again, I'm going to underscore Ellen's vision. My hope would be that we all can put aside the fears that have become so dangerous to us today, that we might kind of examine our fears. Valois mentioned Medea's chains in the old production. I think the chains that we have right now are really just chains of fear, chains of ways in which we are afraid of anyone that's different than us, that thinks differently than us, that looks differently than us, that worships differently than us. And we have all of these kind of hardwired responses My hope would be that one of the things that theater can do is provide the opportunity where someone can step into someone else's shoes. And so with this particular production set the way it is, I'm hoping that people can step into the shoes of people that have been branded as other, that have been branded as stranger, and can say that their experience is not all that different, that we all have these moments where we're marginalized or misunderstood, but also that we can examine the systems that we create and the ways in which we are causing a great deal of pain and suffering to those people who happen to be the object of our irrational fears. I would love to see us be able to step out of that and breathe together and share some time together and just really focus on what humanity means for all of us and let go of some of those things that chain us.
I just want to jump on that also. That's, thank you, George, for saying this. And also this, what is humanity to me for making a theater is actually bringing on stage more question than ever done. So intensifying the questions in a way that maybe formed in a small relationship and formed maybe just kind of a touching to someone's hair, maybe touching someone's hand, how we can bring more question in every kind of relationship, moment to moment. So to me, it's really important to intensify the questions of immigration today, right? I mean, detention center is 217 million business today. 217 billion business will never go away because somebody is making money out of this environment. I mean, today, while we are talking about in the border, so many children are dying. Like the very recent one, actually one child was dying, like there was a blood coming from the ears and mouth, because whatever the reason, because they haven't read it, eat it, anything, they haven't drink anything, they are dehydrated. And the guards were saying that they are faking it. And the doctor just finally arrived to that moment and it was too late and the child died. So to me, with this production, what I would like to also to question, who are the others, right? Like why we are just so against the other, which is already being formed beautifully by Euripides or, you know, all the ancient writers. We are still dealing with the same problem. Who is barbarian actually, and why it is being called barbarian, why it is other is so fearful. And why 2,500 years we are still dealing with the same problem in a more intense, more horrifying, more torturing way to the other. This is just the best way. I think the theater for me is the place to stage an argument and bring a more question into it.
That's a beautiful thought. I want to wrap up this question with you, Valois. You know, you were in the original production. And now you're back with this one. What is the message or thought you hope that the audience takes away from it?
Well, it's the big word, humanity. It doesn't begin with just the migrants. I mean, my ancestors were here hundreds of years before. We're still fighting the fight. And many people will bring up this question. Well, what about the people who are already here? Why is so much given to the migrants? And it's about the core word, humanity. And we have to look at this word more in terms of everybody, not just a few, not just migrants, not just immigrants or somebody coming from another country, but what about the people already here? What about the homeless? Why is that happening? So all of these questions come up and we hope people will think about these questions when they see this production.
Love that answer, Valois. I think that's so, so important. My final question for this first part is, who do you hope have access to this show? And there's some really great things happening with this show, especially because it is available online. So for anyone who can't attend in person, because obviously it's sold out, there is availability online. And Zishan, can I bounce that question to you?
You know, humanity. That's what I would answer. Anyone who would like to come to see show, we would like to, you know, communicate through the show with them. I mean, they're already choosing to see Medea, right? Not only because they are parents of the actors or not friends of ours, but they're also choosing to see Medea in 21st century. So for every age, for every open, you know, like, I am opening the idea of like anyone who would like to and choose to see Medea, they have an idea. So they welcome. To reach a people means like, of course, youth is always, as an educator, is my preference, right? Because a youth should come in and be aware of it. But also I'm just thinking everyone should be aware of it. Everyone should be there just listening the story of Medea, listening the stories of testimonies of the immigrants, listening the questions that how we humiliate people when we say, have you ever done prostitution in your homeland? These kind of question. When transgender person dies in a detention center because she's not provided with any kind of medication and she commits suicide. These are real stories, and we have to share these stories with everyone. Every single one that who would like to hear, their intention is clear to listen, to hear, and to share their ideas. And then I call it the audience's humanity, right? We are just sharing our, humanity is a big word. I agree with Bello, is just, but humanity is still there. And I'm hoping that they will open their ears and they will listen our stories. And Mia, just send this, because I think one thing that I don't want to forget to mention is the digital storytelling aspect of this work. How we exploring different potential and new ways of engaging with audiences, different ways of telling stories. This is part of our experiments in digital storytelling initiative between La Mame and Culture Hub. All the language below we are still working on, but thought I would send it to you guys. I mean, you are going to, I guess, just like edit these things. Anyway, La Mame and Culture Hub's experiments in digital storytelling program incubates story-driven art works that harness digital distribution platforms, expand online audience engagement, and strives to push the boundaries of artistic forms. The online version of Medea is not a traditional broadcast. It is an interactive experience that is framed by special encounters with the characters and unique access to the spaces beyond the stage. With this different perspective, not available to the in-person audience, the online viewer plays a supporting role in the storytelling. This added level of agency plays out through a series of interactions that include conversations with characters, the manipulation of design elements in the physical venue, text-based communications, and potentially the opportunity to be present on stage. Hope that's it, pretty much. And then one thing that I would like to say, this is one more thing. I read recently a phrase. It said that if the map does not agree with the ground, the map is wrong. So to me, it's every process is kind of, and it just goes into that phrase, because we come with an ideas as an artist into the room, right? So we are trying to our best, and then suddenly things slowly revealing itself and the thing starts changing. And then you understand that the ground is different. You understand that we have a ground which is beautiful, which is very resourceful, which is wonderfully mysterious. And then you start, you're changing your mind through this ground, and it feels wonderful. Just that's why I love making theater, because it's a collaboration, because bringing the ideas together and create something together that beyond us, beyond our ego, beyond the boundaries, which perfectly fits opening the borders, which perfectly fits that we understand each other better. We perfectly actually embrace the otherness much better in the room.
For the second part of our interview, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. And I know we're a little short on time, but I can't let you all go without asking my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Oh, I remember we were in Berlin and we performed with no shoes on for Trojan Women. And during the bear scene, the bear comes up into a cart with Helen of Troy. And it's an intense scene. And I remember some people started throwing bottles and there was glass all over the place. So it was like a protest of what was going on in that scene. And we were all shocked. We'd never experienced anything like that, you know, that happened during a performance. So I think the bear was a symbol in Germany. And to have it in that particular scene, defiling Helen of Troy, meant something to the people there and they reacted. So that was really strong.
Holy cow. Yeah. Wow, what a memory. I can barely picture that in my head. That is insane. Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
So I wonder if we're going to have any reactions with what we're doing now. I mean, the topic seems to be so big and so much in the media. In fact, you know, the stories we tell are truthful, and a lot of what we're getting from the news media is false. We're getting bad images of who the migrants are through the media. So hopefully we'll get some truths out there to people who listen to.
Absolutely. Who would like to go next?
There was the time that we were actually doing Medea in Greece. There was an amphitheater outside the city of Athens, where it was kind of like a concert venue. It was an ancient design, but a contemporary construction. And we were doing the whole trilogy there, Medea, Electra, and Trojan Women. And it's toward the end of the play where most of the light on stage is only the candles of the chorus. And at the end, when Jason comes onto the stage with one of the children, there was this huge gust of wind that blew out all the candles of the chorus on stage. But Jason's candle was not blown out. And so really, really wild ways of how, like, when we're working in the outdoors with the elements, how the moon becomes a character, or the fireflies become a character, or some of these other natural circumstances that we find ourselves become a part of the show that you really couldn't have anticipated. And it just is a magical theatrical moment that I don't think I'll ever forget.
That is amazing.
This is incredible. I didn't know that story. Wow.
I have another image.
So beautiful.
If you can picture this image, when we were at the Lycabettos in Greece, we're outside, and picture this. There's a full moon, and along the ridge, the nurse is walking along the full moon above her. Then you have in the center of the space is Medea, and she's doing her magic with the fire pot. And then at one moment, the fire in the pot goes out, and the smoke goes around her body.
Wow.
And I was in the chorus at the time, and I just sat there like, holy. and I forgot what I was supposed to do because the image of the whole thing was like, wow.
Those are some of the best times when you're on stage and you as a performer are so mesmerized by what's happening. And then you're like, oh, yeah, wait, I'm performing. Whoops.
Since we started with the trilogy, it's interesting. I was thinking maybe we should go on with that. I mean, as an audience member or as a performer or director or a theater maker, I think every moment that I feel on theater, just like there is some real impulse being shared with an audience with a very sincere way, that excites me. But for a personal experience that I would just say, when I was playing Helen in Trojan Woman, because we started with the Trojan Woman in a trilogy, you know, and when Ellen is asked me, the Helen is going to be full body naked, just completely. coming from in a Muslim country, right, the first impulse is like, oh my God, how am I going to do that, right? But that's again what La Mama does to all of us, or to the audience members, or unknown people that the probably inspiration is going to find its form in an unexpected moment in every audience. What La Mama does, like a snake charmer, take us our comfort zone and bring us to sing a beautiful song to people around it, right? So that's what I decided to be, a fully naked, you know, in the role. And that was my first fully naked moment on theater as an experience, as a person who is actually being resisting all the religious ideas and everything around that you grow up. It was a wonderful moment. And that moment also triggered another ideas that I did a movie in Istanbul. And then I said yes to the full nudity in an art movie. Maybe I was the first one actually saying full nudity yes to the art movie in Turkey as well. So what I am trying to say, these moments, the theatrical moments we are talking about, like I'm thinking about that just the Jason, you know, candle did not get off. Like it was still there as a light to show us there is always hope. There is an always spark. There is something bigger than us that keep us going. Or Valois' image of the moon, you know, or the broken glass, it brings us, there is still that a mind who does not understand the other, and it goes around their egos and selfish thought that because bear is their personal symbol, you know, that they cannot get out of that mind and see bear as an indifferent context. All these moments are teaching us somehow, I mean, as personally, I learned how to live from theater. And that was to be as the beautiful thing. Every single moment, I learn how to communicate. I learn how to listen better. I learn how to look and observe in detail. I just get all those qualities from theater making.
The beautiful memory. All of you, thank you so much for those amazing, amazing memories. My final question for our conversation is, if our listeners would like more information about Medea or about any of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
For more information about Medea, you can log on to www.lamama.org. There is a Now Showing tab and a Get Tickets tab. Probably the only tickets that are available right now for the online experience, but as Zeeshan described it, it's really kind of a new and fascinating way. It's not just theater on tape, or it's not just theater live cast. It's a completely new medium, and that's a very interesting way to see the show and to participate in something that is entirely new and experimental. But all of that information is on www.lamama.org. If people want to know a little bit more about my work theatrically, my theater company's website is www.magistheater.org, and that's magistheater.org. And tells you about my company and some of the things that we're involved with.
My guests today have been the performers George Drantz, Valois Meekins, and the director Zeeshan Uygurlu, who are all part of Great Jones Rep's presentation of Medea, happening April 11th through the 21st at La Mama Theater. Tickets, which are currently sold out for in person, but there are tickets available for online, and more information are available at lamama.org. You are going to want to get those online tickets as well. It's an incredible interactive experience. It's not like a normal streaming show, so it's still great to be able to see the show that way. And if you can get them in person, even better, but they're available at lamama.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description, as well as on our social media. But head out, La Mama Theater, or at lamama.org. Make sure you check out this historic, phenomenal, powerful piece being presented by Great Jones Rep, Medea, playing April 11th through the 21st. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones.
Unwrap your candies.
Keep talking about the theater, please.
A stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.